Welcome. I'm your host, Andrea Maximo, and you are listening to the Electric Feminine Podcast.
Hello. In this episode, I'm so excited to bring you one of my life coaching clients. So this is the very first time that we are having a client on the show, and I'm going to coach them over three episodes on their particular obstacle that they are facing. And in this particular, this season, as I'm trying to say, we have Sarah Tracy. And Sarah Tracy is a longtime student of mine. I met Sarah maybe 3 years ago at a Pure Movement immersion when we had it over a three-day weekend in my studio when I still had a studio space here in Cleveland. And I instantly fell in love with her. She's just a beautiful, gentle soul, but she has a sharp wit, a sass about her. And I have watched her evolve and grow and really start to develop this beautiful relationship to herself, to her body, to her sensuality, her sexuality. Sarah has worked very hard, both as a life coaching client with the Electric Life, which is what she works with me on, after Pure Movement, and then as a Pure Movement student for her central movement work. And she has really worked so hard to mend the relationship to her body, to embrace both her weight, her size as a larger woman. She's petite, but a fuller figured woman. And it's been a beautiful thing to see her really start to glow now, right? I've had the privilege of watching these breakthroughs happen in the last couple of times that we've worked together and noticing this shift. And it's the shift that as a central movement teacher, you're looking for. And it's a shift where you can just see the rise of their power in them as they're dancing, the certainty they have in their body, the, you know, complete fucking badassery that they're experiencing in the moment. And Sarah had one of those moments the last time we worked together a few weeks ago as a Pure Movement student. And she actually was the one who suggested, being a listener of the Electric Feminine and a fan of podcasts in general, she was actually the one who suggested that we have somebody on that I coach. She has loved working with me, and she thought it would be beneficial for all of you to actually hear in real time how I work with people. And then I asked her if she would be that person, and she graciously volunteered. So aside from being my student, Sarah uses her PhD in creative writing to surprise and delight the engineers and executives she works with at her totally unrelated 9-to-5 gig. She is a poet. She is just a beautiful, beautiful friend, a really good person, an incredibly intelligent woman. Like, I love speaking with her. And even as a client, it's a beautiful thing to watch her make her own connections and arrive to her own conclusions. So I hope you enjoy listening over the next three episodes. Well, they won't be consecutively running back to back, but there will be three episodes throughout the season where we will have an opportunity to hear us work on Sarah and her current obstacle. And what that is in this particular episode, how it kicks off, just so you have a little backstory, is Sarah comes to me and we discuss, now that she is in this stage of really feeling her goddess energy, how does she bring that out into the world? How does she project it as she's interacting with men in the dating scene? How does she, you know, just bring it into her everyday life, which is something that is very common for a lot of my students, is we want to bridge the gap between the magic that happens in class with me or in session with me to bringing it outside of the room, right? We don't want your light to just explode in this extraordinary way only when you're in session. We want that light to continue to glow outside confidently and for you to feel that you can express yourself just as clearly as you do in class out in the real world every day. So tune in, take some notes. You might find some things in there that'll be helpful for you as I'm coaching her. And I'm excited to offer you this very new feature here on our show. And Hello, welcome everyone to the Electric Feminine. And today I am so excited, as you heard in the intro, I have a very dear, amazing coaching client with me today, Sarah Tracy. Hi, Sarah.
Hello, Angela. I'm so happy to be here.
I know, I'm super excited too. So as you and I were talking before this, we're gonna coach through today. We're gonna do a session. And allow people a little bit of a peek into what a session is like between us and some of the things that you're working on. And I think some people will be able to possibly even relate to what you're working on and hopefully take some things away. Sound good?
Yeah, that sounds perfect.
Okay, cool. So tell me again, what is it specifically for these next three sessions did you want to bring to the table?
Yeah. So I'm so excited about this. And I think, you know, you and I have been working together for years. And one of the things that has come up as we've gotten to know each other better, and I've taken more pure movement classes, is that I'm really struggling with how I present myself, both in my personal life, when I'm dating, I'm divorced, how do I go out into the world when I'm trying to meet men or when I'm going on a date? And also in my professional life, I have a corporate kind of job where my coworkers and my clients are more conservative than I am. I have an artistic background, and I love the idea of being kind of a hippie kind of fun and artistic look, but I feel like I have a different professional persona. And so just kind of trying to figure out how to connect those two pieces of my life with who I think I am and the confidence that I've been building over the years in working with you. And then, God, I'm dumping it all. I always do this to you. No. But the other thing,
you know, I'll get you to land the plane if I need to. So.
Absolutely. So the other thing that comes up for me when I think about this is, you know, I grew up in a household where natural was best. My mom didn't wear makeup. I was not allowed to use a curling iron until I was 15 or 16 years old. So I have this idea that, like, if I try too hard to look a certain way, then that diminishes who I am naturally. And so it's this real rub when, you know, you talk about in coaching and in peer movement, what does your goddess want? And what does she look like? And what does she like to wear? And I feel like that the impulse that I have in those moments is like, I want a red lip and fake eyelashes that come out to here. And that is in direct conflict with that, those values that I grew up with of natural beauty. And so kind of how to tie all of that together and come up with a way to present myself that is true to all of that, or that lets go of some of it if I need to.
All right. let's get into it. I was like, okay. This is juicy. This is good. I just want to get clear. I just want to make sure I'm hearing all the pieces correctly, right? Because it's not a dump. I've told you this before. Like, when you allow yourself to flow like that, I listen for what I need. And it actually, I can actually hear a lot more. And I'll get you to land the plane if I need to, right?
Okay.
All right. So here's what I'm hearing. And then stop me if it's like, no, that's not right. You have been working with me for quite some time. Yes. Right. And we have worked both in the realm of the electric life, you know, more life coaching stuff. And we've worked now a lot with pure movement in the body and the sensuality and the goddess work. You, what I've witnessed, you know, over this time have really, you know, worked hard on first getting comfortable in the body, in your body, right? And then getting comfortable in your body, I think has allowed you to also get comfortable in your expression in the outside world, right? Finding yourself, finding an ownership in your body. Now, what I'm hearing you say now is the next level is, but there's this other piece now. There's this other piece that you're ready to really explore. And that is, you know, the adornment of the body.
Right. And I say the adornment because, you know, as I taught you guys in Pure Movement, this is the vessel of the soul. And it's a beautiful thing. And that's why we want to treat it as such. And what does that need to look like? Okay, so when we're discussing the conflict, right? Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. I mean, remember what have we talked about? How are we all raised, right? We're raised with what?
The expectations, the history of what our family's coming from,
right?
The values, yeah.
And then what else is influencing you other than family values?
Yeah, right now or historically?
Just historically, growing
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I mean, the whole kind of, you know, patriarchal notion of what a woman should be and mm-hmm. how we find our value and, you know, that what counts as beautiful, what counts right. as feminine, all of that.
Right. Okay. So you, like all of us, since we're kids, we're constantly getting inputted all this information, right? Mm-hmm. And I've talked about it with you before that you're going to come with your family's values to the table. You're coming, you know, with the media and what they're telling us what sexy looks like and how sexy women dress or what sensuality is supposed to be. You know, you're coming with magazines and models and all this idea. And then, you know, just the men you may meet who are now also being influenced by the same thing that we're seeing. So now they're coming with their expectations to us, right? So all of that to say, we get to this point in our adulthood and it all happens at different points where it's like an awakening. Mm-hmm. And you really are, you have been for quite some time, but are really reaching, I think, the peak of this awakening. Mm-hmm. And it's really you defining everything for yourself, right down to the way you look. Mm-hmm. Okay, so am I on? That's it?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it.
Okay, so what ultimately stops you?
So... a couple things. I mean, one is...
Wait, hold on. Let me rephrase that because the reason I say that is you'll be like, well, I just told you what stops me, this, and this. But you're an adult now.
Yeah. So it feels like, and I just said this on social media the other day that I was getting dressed to go out to dinner with a girlfriend and I put on the fake eyelashes and the dark lipstick and I felt so sexy. And I also at that exact same moment felt like I was wearing a costume. And I think that is this fear of being looked at, but of more than being looked at, having people know that I want them to look at me. Right.
And?
I think that, and that feels like it is, there's a couple things. So one is that I feel like that, you know, if I go back to that family story, that wanting to be looked at is not as attractive or as valuable as being looked at naturally. Right. You want to be that, you know, those awful songs from the 90s, like she doesn't know she's beautiful. Like she walks in the room and doesn't know that all the eyes are turning, like that idea that is better than like, oh, she just spent an hour with her hair and her makeup and she knows she looks good and everybody is watching. And I think there's that a rub between those two kinds of what is beautiful. And I think the other piece of it, and this goes, I think, deeper to my discovering who I am, is that I don't always want to present exactly the same way. And I think that's something that I'm struggling with a little bit in just accepting that difference that, you know, some days I want to be the hippie in the peasant skirt with the big hair. And other days I want to be wearing all black and a ponytail and kind of move in, you know, mm-hmm. backstage. And okay. so I think there is a voice telling me, my voice, of course, but a voice telling me that I have to pick one. And then there's another voice telling me that I don't. And so I get caught up in that.
Yeah.
And I think where I land most often is to not do anything.
Yeah.
Cause I can't decide.
Okay. So here's the thing. I'm gonna ask you again. What is the actual threat? Let me ask you this from a different angle. If you're hanging out with your friends and this woman walks in and she's done up, like, face is beat for the gods, like just makeup is done, she got an outfit yeah. on, the whole thing is just popping, right? Mm-hmm. And you see her walk in and she walks in confidently. You know, she makes eye contact with people in the room. She's comfortable in her body, minding her business. What is your thought?
I want to be her. I'm admiring almost to the point of jealousy.
Okay. Now, you get dressed, same outfit,
mm-hmm.
face beat, right? Hair done.
Yes.
You know you look good. And I've seen you when you are vibing, y'all, when she's in that. There's a skirt she wears. Like, yeah, you know. And you said, I feel great. And then I feel like I'm wearing a costume.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something in that feels like my intuition's like, there's something in this costume piece. What does that mean? I'm wearing a costume. Translates to what? Says who? Yeah.
It is. It's a fear of being inauthentic, I think.
Because
that.
Inauthentic to whom?
To me. And that's where the rub is, right? So I think of authenticity as one of my core values. Like, I am who I am. And sometimes I'm going to rub people the wrong way or say something in a meeting that's going to get like eyeballs. But that's who I am and that's who I have to be. And I think that the fear comes from if I am presenting myself physically in a different way than I have all these years, then that is going to come across as if mm-hmm. either I'm not being genuine in that moment or I wasn't genuine all along when I wasn't presenting that way. I'm not sure I really believe that. I feel like that's the story that my brain is trying to tell me right this minute, but
you're like, I gotta say something.
Yeah,
I gotta come up with a reason.
I mean, I'm trying to put myself in that, like, in that most recent moment with my, you know, going out with my friend about where that was really coming from.
Let me ask you this though. Why can't you be all those things?
I can. I think that and you know this about me, I feel like there's always two levels of me going on. And one is the intellectual kind of rational me, and the other is the emotional me. And the rational part of me says, like, of course you can. Like, there are different environments and different situations, and you're going to be different in each of those. But then this emotional part of me thinks, why can't you just pick one? Why can't you just be consistent?
Okay. So there you go. Mm-hmm. Who's judging this consistency or inconsistency?
I don't know. That one's
Because I feel like you have an entire fight going on and I'm trying to figure out who you're fighting.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know, is this something that was spoken to you? I get the piece about the parents, but they're far removed and you've done a lot of that work.
Yeah.
You know, you've done a lot of that work. So when I say done that work, meaning that you've handled a lot of what's happened in the past with your therapy sessions and what have you. Mm-hmm. And I think you're very aware and you're very clear and you understand the difference between what is was and what is happening now. So, mm-hmm. you know, what I'm hearing more so than anything is that there is an opportunity for you right now to step into, for the first time in your life, authentically, every facet of who you are, that you actually don't have to fit into anybody's box, that you can actually embody any energy that you feel drawn to.
Mm-hmm.
And you are finding a reason not to allow yourself the freedom to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. You can edit out my pauses.
You're fine. It's authentic. It's real.
I think that is the question, right? So it feels like I have, I had a lot of trouble fitting in when I was a kid, particularly like tween years, high school. And it felt like I wanted to be cooler than I was. And I feel like what I did in my attempts to fit in was I discarded the people around me who I thought weren't cool enough. And did this kind of costuming, masking of myself to try to fit in, and failed miserably. And would have to come crawling back to my real friends, the other little weirdo misfits like I was, mm-hmm. and say, okay, you are my friend and I was being a jerk, and like, let's start over. Right. And so I think there's some fear there, some residual fear that if I explore these impulses to change the way I dress and present myself, that I am going to do that again, that I'm going to abandon not only myself, but also the mm-hmm. people who matter to me. And so I guess the skill that I need to develop is how to explore those things without it changing who I am at my core.
Right.
Which okay. is, yeah.
So here's the thing. Do you know who you are?
I think so. It's such a magical question for me because it is, I couldn't say yes with any kind of confidence for most of my life. Right. And I think I can now.
So who are you? Who is Sarah Tracy?
Oh gosh, I am a woman who loves hard and who wants to create beauty in the world. And I am sensitive as fuck. And I am, I just have so much inside of me that I want to give away. You always make me cry. I feel like I feel expansive, and that is, it's scary to let that go. Mm-hmm. And I am, I'm the youngest in my family, and I am short and petite, and I am, I grew up with the nickname Baby Sarah, mm-hmm. and I had this, I was infantilized, mm-hmm. And it's really strange to try to put baby Sarah away, because she wanted so much more than to be everybody's little sister. So now I'm 41 and I am successful. I have a PhD and a great job, and I have all of the skills and talents that I could ask for. And I am not putting them out in the world the way that I, the way that I know I can.
So you said it's hard to put baby Sarah away because of all she knows she could have been more of than just everyone's little sister.
Mm-hmm.
But from what you just described, baby Sarah did become more than everyone's little sister. I mean, like, five times over.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, for sure.
You are right now becoming everything more than what baby Sarah got to be. Right? That's your opportunity right now. So there's a piece here where there has to be a part where you come back to what is the difference between what happened and where you are actually at right now.
Yeah.
Right. Are you still baby Sarah trying to fit in with the cool kids, or do you have a solid group of friends now that are authentically really, really your friends?
I have real friends.
You do. You absolutely do. And they love you. They love you. They think the world of you.
Yeah.
Like, you are the coolest. Like, this is factual information. Okay.
Yeah.
What happened was what happened. But right now, that's not what's happening.
Right.
Okay. And here's the thing. I'm so curious. When you're in hippie mode, do you second guess it?
No.
Do you feel like you're in a costume?
Oh, but I do. So this is, a little bit, but it depends on the environment. So I had a month or so ago, I had a business dinner, first one since the pandemic started, and I got dressed and I was like, I am not wearing a blazer. I'm not doing the thing where I put my corporate outfit on. And I wore colored tights and a dress that I feel great in. And I had my hair in little, I call them space buns. And I just, I felt fucking cute. And then I got to the event and I felt like I didn't belong. And I felt like that, the way I was presenting myself in that moment, erased all of the competence that I have. And I know that's not true. And I probably nobody noticed that evening that I was dressed any differently than I normally would at an event like that. But to me, I felt like I was not in my power. I was not corporate Sarah. I wasn't business Sarah. And so that hippie artistic me is like, she's,
hold on 1 second. My stomach just cracked.
So I feel like there is this, the hippie version of me, the artistic version of me, and the business version of me are they're not two different people, but they belong in two different places. And so when I took hippie me, and I wasn't wearing like a floor length skirt and beads or anything. Like,
it, yeah, wasn't, I get it. You didn't look like Stevie Nicks, right?
Right. But it, like, somebody that I've known for years came up to me at that event and she said, "Remind me, Sarah, what kind of artist are you?" And it was just like, what? Like, I mean, maybe there could have been any number of things that reminded her to ask me that, but it also could have been that outfit. And it just,
and like, what was wrong with that? What would be wrong with that though? You just said it's your artsy outfit. It's what makes you feel like an artist. So what's wrong with being called out for that?
It made me feel conspicuous. It made me feel like I was, in that instance, like I wasn't wearing the right costume. Okay. And that comes back to that authenticity piece for me, which is, I realize, a little bit of a contradiction that, like, I don't want to be seen as if I'm wearing a costume. And yet I feel like if I'm wearing the wrong costume, then that is disingenuous too.
Okay, let's start with language. Let's just get into some language here. This use of the word costume. Mm-hmm. It is going to be a costume, or it is going to be an aspect of your style and personality.
Mm-hmm.
When I tell you to go find your goddess wear, I've told you a million times, this is not about putting on a costume. Mm-hmm. This is adornment. This is you putting on things that are actually part of what brings that energy out of you. And you may not necessarily wear it, go food shopping, if it's a little bit more, you know, whatever kind of an outfit, but, you know, if we're going into dominatrix wear or something, we're maybe not wearing that out to the supermarket, but at the same time, we've talked about even wearing pieces of the adornment underneath your clothing, the garter on your thigh, whatever. So that aspects of it stay with you. What we're ultimately wanting to do, you know, with pure movement and with our sessions is to embody all of ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. It's to no longer have to compartmentalize yourself unless you want to choose when you want to dial your energy up and when you want to dial it down. That's your right. But it shouldn't come from the place of because you don't feel like you deserve to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
You don't feel like you deserve to be seen beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a different kind of dialing your light down. That's you dialing it down out of insecurity, out of not feeling enough, as opposed to you going, these corporate people may not really get it. I'm not really sure if I really want to share it with them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get into having a conversation about it. I'm just going to go in my thing, maybe keep my red crazy tights on, but I'll keep my suit on. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
But it's a conscious, intentional decision as opposed to you succumbing to a fear. Because in that moment, really what I'm hearing you say, Sarah, is that you got to just make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
What are you choosing? If you were going to choose to just be you and you just happens to be all these different things, depending on your mood and your feeling, then own that.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as you keep saying, I own it, but it's also a costume. And I'm also like just all over the place. And I'm also, you know, not consistent. And it's like you down what ultimately now actually is gold. What if all those experiences as a young person dipping into all these different styles or whatever was going on, was you actually just exploring as you were trying to fit in? And maybe some of them you actually ended up liking, and maybe that stays with you to formulate you into this adult person who's a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I love that. And I wrote down when you said what it brings the energy out, and it like that is something I can be so much more intentional about, because it is a different energy, that kind of flowy, artsy, hippie energy is not what makes me good at my job. It the energy there is more focused and more direct. But that flowy hippie is what makes me feel safe.
Then own it.
Yeah.
Then walk in proud of it and just be like, y'all know I'm that girl. That's me. Mm-hmm. I'm the one. I'm the oddball in the group. And own being the black sheep. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're going to be in that environment and you know you work in that environment, either you're either going to decide it's not, I don't want to be bothered. I'm just going to roll with it. I'll have my special skin suit I wear or whatever, you know, or that aspect of me. And maybe you do like wearing no suits. Maybe there's a part of it that's like, you know, when I have it on, I do feel powerful and I can draw on it. But again, it's all the intention and the energy that you put behind it. Mm-hmm. But if you have a little bit of criticism because corporate is tied to capitalism, which is kind of a thing that rubs you the wrong way. And then you're going to put a little bit of energy behind that. And then if you have a criticism about the hippie look, not being maybe professional of it, and you have a little, see what I'm saying? Like you're going into everything you love, but with a little bit of a hit at it.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm really just hearing, you just have to decide if it's what you love, you own it.
Mm-hmm.
Choose.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when a couple months ago, when this first started coming up for us, the first thing I thought of was like pinup girls. And I just realized that the corporate version of me that feels the best is me wearing an A-line skirt. It's a fucking pinup girl. That's my corporate persona that feels in my power, in my energy. And that's so easy. Buy 100 A-line skirts. Jesus Christ, what have I been doing?
But do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
But what do you, let's just be real now, Ma, because you get it. You know. What right now is standing in your way? What is the biggest obstacle? Really, truly, what is the actual boogeyman here? Well, the boogeyman is not real. So what is the real one?
Well, my confidence. Like, I mean, you said it earlier. I have this insecurity in me that is like constantly picking. Because the
external validation is still what you are somehow drawn to, looking for, needing. Mm-hmm. Expecting.
Yeah.
As long as you're going into the event and fully expecting they're going to vibe me, or going into the bar feeling $1,000,000, and then as soon as somebody looks at you and your mind goes, maybe I shouldn't have worn this, ownership.
Mm-hmm.
It's a choice and it's a decision that. The only way it's going to work is when you stop worrying what everybody thinks, including your family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very difficult and it's a challenge, but it's not impossible.
Right.
Like if you felt like $1,000,000 when you put that outfit on and you were like, I felt sexy. That's all that matters, period.
Mm-hmm.
I felt sexy. End of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went out. Took all that sexiness out the door. It didn't need to be that it was validated by the person at the bar or the restaurant or that my friend said it looked hot. You didn't need to know. No one needs to say anything to you.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, if they did say you look hot, your response should be, thank you, I know.
Yeah.
We'll work our way up to that. But I'm just saying. I was like, wait a second, that's a big step. But you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's that their validation is just there. It's not even validation. It's like, I hear your acknowledgement of what I already know. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for seeing the light that I've been cultivating. I appreciate that. That is big because that's not how you've been raised. So you really have to sit there. And this for me, my money, what I'm hearing here is the work that we need to do between this session and the next is you sitting down again and looking at your family values and looking at the way you were raised and really getting clear on what do I believe though today in this day and age? What do I really believe about women who are very confident and walk in done up and whatever? And what do I really believe about women who don't?
Mm-hmm.
And why can't they coexist?
Yeah.
And the three little letters. And
yeah, I try to remember those letters often, but and I'm still working on it. I love this, and I think there is also the piece of this that hasn't come up yet that has to be unpacked is my weight. And that I am in a bigger body. I know earlier I was talking about I'm petite, but I'm also big. So, and that is a, a thing I spent a lot of the last couple of years working on. And I feel like I am at a place of, if not body positivity, I'm getting at least closer to body neutrality. And there is a social stigma that I am trying to separate my self-perception from. And that is, I think there is an assumption that overweight people are, that they care less about how they look, that they don't take as much care with their appearance as other people do. And even in my former life as an academic, this was 10 years ago probably, but I remember somebody went viral on Twitter for saying that he didn't think a fat person could finish a PhD.
What?
Because
are you PhDs,
yes, yeah. And the idea was he thought PhDs take a lot of discipline and being overweight shows me you don't have discipline. So therefore you cannot be a successful academic. So there is not just perception, not just physically, but also like intellectually and professionally, there is a stigma that like fat people can't be whatever. And so I combat that as well. And I think that is a facet of this that is big, no pun intended. And I think that, you know, Lizzo and, you know, thick thighs save lives and those kinds of things have made that less so in the last couple of years, but it's still there. And it's still something that even as I am coming to a place where I am not interested in weight loss and I am not interested in dieting, I am like the narrative in my family is constantly, well, you know, after Christmas, we'll stop eating like this. And, you know, so that is all a part of this too, that like,
right.
That if I am comfortable in my skin, all of it, all 230 pounds of it, that is also conspicuous. And fuck that. But it's there. It's a thing, right. I'm trying to chop up.
And again, what this person said, the audacity.
God. I know, right?
Human beings are so bananas, and I'm just literally, I'm like, why? How are you so smart and not at the same time? Like, I don't understand it. It just baffles me. Like, how are you gifted but not? So it's a gifted but no common sense. So I just that does not track on any spectrum. So you know, but this is all again. It's about other people's opinions, mm-hmm. which are always going to be there. So here's the thing: we know that this society in particular, can't speak for other ones, I haven't lived in them. This society in particular has a fat phobia issue. We know that they, you know, people don't even want to see mannequins that are the size of anybody over 115 pounds mm-hmm. in a workout wear, because that's promoting obesity or whatever nonsense. Never mind that people of all sizes work out, and why the fuck shouldn't there be a mannequin with another body size in there that actually is working out, right? Now, you know, I was thinking about this earlier for no reason at all, and it had nothing to do with you, just still having to do something I was tracking in my head about words and words and words and the power of words. Thin, the word thin has, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Glamorized, whatever, people will get to hear it, and it doesn't hit anybody in any particular way.
Right.
Okay. Negatively, mm-hmm. for the most part, the word fat, which technically, if we're speaking, you know, just vocabulary, is that the other word that would be the opposite of thin? Mm-hmm. But that word has tremendous negative impact we've created around it.
Mm-hmm.
it's offensive, it's an insult, it's, you know, it's, it says all the things that you were talking about earlier, instead of it just being a different body size.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
The world that we live in, unfortunately, is going to be slow to catch up on this shit.
Yeah.
Right. But in the meantime, Lizzo had to go keep doing what she had to be. You know what I'm saying? Lizzo had to keep being Lizzo is what she decided.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck the world, because they're not going to change. So I'm going to go ahead and throw on the gold leotard and play the flute while I fucking twerk. Because that's what I want to do. And I feel good doing it. And they're going to talk shit anyway. So I might as well do what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's like the world isn't, you know, the society isn't happy unless this person who they deem fat or overweight is quiet, reserved, and in the place that they feel acceptable, which is don't think too much of yourself.
Right.
But that's a lie. Do you believe that? What do you believe? What do you really believe in your heart?
Yeah,
I believe. You believe the PhD guy?
No, fuck no. No.
And do you believe this idea about people being slovenly and unmotivated because they're not 115 pounds?
No, I mean, so there is a like, I would be lying if I said that there wasn't a narrative in my mind about weight and laziness. And I know it's bullshit and it's still there. And that is.
But is that your thought or is that what you've been interpreting? It's like, what do you actually think? You've seen other people, fat, overweight, whatever word you want to use. Do you feel that they are lazy? Mm-hmm. Do you feel that they're all unfit?
No. And I mean that, like, well, it's so ingrained. I mean, I know that I hear what you're saying. I think of like where my mind goes and what I'm trying to unprogram is that I think of, I'm like seeing this like ticker tape of fat people, overweight people, big bodied people who are lifting heavy weights, who are killing it at yoga, who are whatever. And immediately thinking of them as exceptions to the rule when I know that's not true. I know that's not true, but that is the programming that I'm fighting against.
Right. Except that you know it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
So this is your work. Mm-hmm. Remember what I told you, it's a practice, right? And the practice is that if you are aware enough to tell me in the same sentence, this is the indoctrination and programming, and I know it's not true.
Yep.
That means that the next piece is you sitting there and working through it. I know it's not true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But what part of me believes it a little bit, because there's something in there that keeps pulling you back. And that's the piece. Like when you walked into the bar, my mind is wondering, does Sarah suddenly go to the place of, I don't deserve to look this way because of my size? Who am I to stand here in 3-inch heels and false eyelashes and a bodycon dress feeling fabulous, whatever you had on? Right. And that's why I asked you, how do you feel when you're in your hippie clothing in certain environments where you don't feel like, you know, antagonized, like in the corporate environment?
Yeah.
And you said, I feel fine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is that because that's what you're expected to, you think you're expected to look like, or that's just a home base? Because that's what you're most used to, because that's how you were raised, but you've always wanted to do these other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that it wasn't, my family picked on me for the hippie stuff too. So there was like a middle ground.
Okay. they all need to leave you alone. Like, this, I know. What does Sarah want? This is all about, what does Sarah want though?
I think the the flowiness, the hippie stuff is, it feels like the truest expression, or the comfort zone. It's the comfort zone. And it doesn't draw attention to the body, right? And it also, like, and ugh, this is, it, there's so much contradiction in all of this, because at the same time, one of the things that I'm trying to figure out as I experiment with clothing in particular is that bigger clothing is supposedly, like, I feel like there is they out there, the ephemeral they, are saying wear big clothes and you won't be noticed. So I think that is a little bit the maxi skirts and things like that is like, okay, I just disappear. Except that, like, when you've got an ass shaped like mine, the maxi skirt does not make it go away. Right.
but you see, again, if you want to. Right.
But I love like the swish of a big old
yeah,
skirt.
Like, you do.
I'm good with that. I love the way my ass moves. So what I'm trying to get to is like, it seems like there is there's the body con, like, I'm going to wear this slinky little dress that shows every curve, or I'm going to wear these baggy sweatpants that make me disappear. And they're both wrong. I don't know. Wrong is not the right word. There's something incongruous about what I'm saying and how I feel when they're on my body.
Mm-hmm. Can I make an observation?
Mm-hmm.
It may make you annoyed because we've said it about 19 times this entire session.
Okay.
You are literally the only thing standing in your way.
Oh, I know.
Literally the only thing. You and understandable concerns and fears, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fear you feel or the discomfort, I understand that. It makes sense. I mean, understand that as far as I understand, I can relate to what you're saying in, as you're breaking it down to me. I understand mm-hmm. that. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what are we going to do about it? Right.
Yeah.
And the what are we going to do about it only comes from you practicing.
Mm-hmm.
This work is never going to be the 3 sessions, the 7 sessions, even in 10 sessions, it goes away and it's gone mm-hmm. because I or any other coach or therapist won't be with you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So the real work is what happens between the sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in you not taking the dress off. And mm-hmm. it's in you in that moment that the gremlin pops up and starts talking shit in your head that you excuse yourself 1 minute from Sally at the party asking about what art you're into, go to the bathroom, gather your ass. Dig in your toolbox, get the backpack out, rescue pack, come to the rescue, right? It's a Doris pack. Like, bust out your tools and be like, hands on my body, mm-hmm. breathe. What's happening right now? I'm panic about what? Because this is what's going through my head. But what's the truth? The truth is I chose this. I know who I am. I want to wear this. I'm comfortable. It's okay mm-hmm. that they don't understand it until you get it together and then you go back out. But you have to be actively doing the work in those moments
mm-hmm.
to be willing to fight back in those moments. You okay?
Yeah.
I feel you touching your body right now. What's going
on? Yeah, I'm just trying to make sure I don't lose that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's your job.
Mm-hmm.
That's your job in the moments for yourself. Like, again, I'm putting it into context of you having a relationship with yourself. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're out with your best friend. She mm-hmm. puts on an outfit. Okay.
Yeah.
Would you be willing to, can you give me a best friend name now or make up a name?
Yeah. Laura is my best friend.
Okay. So you and Laura are going out. Laura puts on an outfit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know Laura's personality. Let's just say for tonight, Laura starts to get insecure about her outfit.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do? She starts saying, I don't know. Is it too much? Mm-hmm. What are you going to do?
I would be honest with her. I'd tell her she looks amazing or maybe try these shoes, or I can kind of see why you're not comfortable, and maybe try this instead.
But what if she honestly, there was like literally nothing, like you couldn't see any, like you're looking at her and you're like, the shoes, everything's on point. What are you gonna tell her?
I would tell her she looks amazing. Tell her that she is glorious and it suits.
What are they gonna say when I walk in? Like, what if people start looking at me? What should I do?
I'm gonna tell her to fuck them. Not literally, like,
yeah, well, fuck off, fuck them, whatever.
Yeah.
Love you. Okay. Now I hear the empathy that you want to have for Lara too. And you're not wrong in wanting to empathize with how she's feeling, but I'm saying you literally are watching a phoenix tear her wings off in that moment. Are you going to let her tear her wings off is the question?
No, of course not.
Right?
Yeah.
Because the thing is like, it's all eyes on you, as Tupac would say, you know, that can be an uncomfortable feeling when you don't want it, especially. And that's why I'm saying, y'all, this is about you learning to manage your energy, your goddess energy, and the levels of energy that we talk about, your energetic leadership from 1 to 7 that I've spoken about a little bit, you know, but you get to choose every second of the day how I feel and how you want to present in the world, but based on your choices of truly tapping in, not what the other people out in the world and on the periphery are going to think. Who is Sarah today? What's she feeling? Sarah's feeling super low key, does not want to be fucking bothered with. No, one fool. Okay, what does that look like in clothing? Sarah feels like she's going to get into some baggy ass shit that feels really comfortable and great. Great. Then we're going to do that and we're going to own it. Sarah's feeling spicy as fuck today. Okay, then what's that going to look like? Spicy as fuck, Sarah. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's allowing yourself to just be who you want to be, my love, but really recognizing that those people on the periphery will forever be there, unfortunately, but your core group of people, they love you. They know who you are. You've chosen wisely. They're not going to vibe you. And if they did, they're not your people. Role play one more thing with me. You ready?
Okay.
I know Lara knows all your phases you're going through, right? She knows everything you're into.
She knows everything.
Okay, so she may not be the right person. Let's say there's like more of a secondary friend here that you're going out with, okay? Right. You walk in, you got your lashes on, hair's done, everything. Okay, you ready? Well, look at you, Sarah. I've never seen you done up like this. What's this about?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, I just love wearing these eyelashes. They make me feel great.
Yeah. I mean, you're usually like a little bit more low key. It's like, it's great to see you all like kind of done up like this. I love it.
Well, thank you.
That's it. Thank you. That's the fuck it. Do you know what I'm saying? Everything else is the gremlin talking shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gremlin is loud mouth.
I know. Let's next session. Let's work on that. So here's what I'd like you to work on, some action steps between now and the next session. Okay. Spend a little time again, get really clear. These were the things I was taught. This is what I believe. Me, what I believe, not what's acceptable, not what I've been taught would be better because femininity, blah, 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 blah. Just what I believe, period. Okay. Very clear on those things. Get very clear again. And this can just be simply time reflecting or meditating on. That's what happened. Sarah as a child, baby Sarah, and Sarah now as an adult. And what does baby Sarah need? Maybe a little bit more time to know or understand to get comfortable with letting grown Sarah take the lead. Baby Sarah don't have to go away, but she just needs to be regulated a little bit.
Yeah. She's my sensitive part, right? Like I can't deal with that. Yeah.
She's beautiful and we love baby Sarah. Mm-hmm. We want to always care for baby Sarah, but she just got to calm down because you got it though. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's the assurance, yeah. The assurance. So yeah. What does the inner child need? The assurance to understand that this is not then, this is now. Mm-hmm. And here's the reality and here's what we've accomplished and here's who we are today. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it. Anything last minute, any last bits before we come off?
The one thing that you said that I want to spend more time on is, you were talking about you wake up in the morning and you decide this is the energy that I want to bring. Or this is the energy I'm feeling today. How do I dress for that? So the question that came up for me as you were saying that is, how do you, can you, is it safe to, I don't know, safe is maybe not the right word, but decide that that's not the jam for the day, right? Like I wake up wanting baggy sweatpants and to disappear, but that's not the energy I need to have a good day.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'd like to spend more time on that.
Okay. I love that. And we will definitely bring that to the table next time.
Okay.
I think that's actually a really, 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 really great thing because you touched on it earlier. So we'll circle back to it, but I'm going to put a little marker here for me to remember. And it's going to be a triangle for A line.
Mm-hmm.
So A line means what's A line? A line is like A, right?
Yeah. It's like a triangle. It is a triangle.
But asymmetrical is okay. We're going off topic, but anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah,
a little, right, like the A line is a triangle skirt. Okay, got it. Yes. Got it. Okay. Yeah. So I put it there just for me to remember to bring that back for our next session. But I will see you next session.
Okay.
Be good to you.
You too. It's so good to see you.
Thank you for listening to the Electric Feminine Podcast with me, your host, Anjua Maximo. If you're ready to dive into this work of developing your connection to your goddess energy, of removing those obstacles standing in your way, please reach out at info@anjuamaximo.com, or you can check out my courses available and my private coaching at www.anjuamaximo.com. Be good to you, be good to each other.